Pepper.
Allow him.
Bolt turned to meet the Seed Herald, who entered, assault rifle in hand.
I've got men out there everywhere, Prince Bolt. So far, they've seen nothing.
Then they're missing it. The rebels know the time of the great uprooting is near. They're not going to accept it like a bunch of sheep.
Yes, sire. But all I can report to you is that things will remain quiet.
Given time, I think they will act. Before they do, I want to strike first.
Then let us do it now. We're ready. Come first light, we could be among them before they have a chance to get prepared.
What about the boy?
I don't know what's become of him.
And the strangers? The ones you encountered who were with the black woman?
We've not seen them yet either.
Tarragon appeared to be going willingly with those people. If he's working with them or anyone else, he could sing a song to get any number of intruders past the Tanglers.
Yes, sire.
Do not assume we are safe here, Pepper. We've got enemies within and without.
I understand, sire.
Now get out of here and secure the area. If you find the strangers about, kill them.
Yes, sire.
What?
Red alert, red alert. Sensors attached to the fibrous root systems are picking up an attack made on the outer hull.
Give me the inner camera systems. Bring on the defensive systems and show me where they are.
Mildred knew she had the young guard's attention as she continued working the buttons on her blouse. Clove stared at her in fascinated rapture, his mouth hanging slightly open, his face pressed against the bars. Mildred didn't pull her blouse open anymore. Totally revealing herself would answer too many questions, take away too much of the mystery.
Like what you see, Clove?
You're a right handsome woman. Why are you doing this?
Because I want you, Clove.
You want me?
Yes.
Mildred rose. As she approached the bars, Clove backed away. He tightened his grip on the bolt-action Enfield he carried.
Do you know how to tell if a woman wants you, Clove? I'm talking about a real woman. Not one of those used-up girls you're used to.
Suppose they up and just tell you?
I'm telling you, and you don't seem to believe me.
Got no reason to. You could be trying to trick me into letting you out of that cell.
Then what? I'll wander around inside the prince's fortress. I don't see that getting out of here really puts me any closer to escape. Do you?
No.
I'm a stranger in these parts. In case you hadn't noticed, we don't appear too welcome around here. This could be my last night alive. I've been thinking about that for hours. Dawn isn't too far away. Maybe I wouldn't have picked you under normal circumstances. I don't usually pick boys when I got men around me. But there's you here. And dawn coming too soon.
Mildred, back to the cot.
So, I guess it's your decision. You're the one that's got the key to this bird's cage.
She sat down again. Suddenly, Clove was back at the bars again, staring hard into shadows he couldn't see through.
So, what's it gonna be, Clove? You just going to wonder about it? Or are you man enough to come find out?
Conti had left Cruz, Henderson, and Turley behind to rig flashbangs they'd taken from the redoubt, while he and Whitaker moved in the opposite direction to conduct recon. This vantage point afforded a better position to view the strange community below. On first glance, it had seemed the location of the vill in the valley would have been detrimental to its security, but that had been before they discovered the plants ringing the area. Only Whitaker's killer instinct and fast reflexes had saved him from certain death. Watching how the plants had reacted as his unit had lobbed stones and branches into the area, he'd realized they responded to sound. Henderson had managed to get one of the things with a machete, then drag it clear of the others. A brief examination had shown no eyes, nor anything that could pass as them. Visual targeting wasn't a possibility. Conti had it figured that if enough sound got pumped into the area at one time, the noise would deafen the plants, allowing the men to run through, if they had to. That was one thing he still wasn't certain about. What he was certain of, judging from the DNA experimentation evident among the guardian plants, the way the gardens were laid out to effectively use every square inch of land, and the few glimpses they'd had of the interior of the giant roots, there had to be a treasure load of high-tech apparatus in the fortress below. The small redoubt they'd arrived in had to have been a staging area, a stronghold to retreat to for secret meetings between whoever had set up this enclave and the man who'd sold out the White Sands projects. Besides terminating Cotter and his people, Conti knew one of his objectives was to destroy as much of the underground fortress as he could. It posed a threat to their beachhead. And hopefully, it held another Matran's unit.
Sergeant Conti, Cotter and his people are going inside the route.
Any sign of engagement from your vantage point, Whitaker?
Nah, looks like they got in clean. The local militia's starting to turn out around the area in force now, though.
Conti scanned the terrain, overlooking the writhing, twisted shadows of the hunting plants. Turley and Cruz were close enough to aggravate them without setting them into a frenzy. Beyond them, he spotted Set guards spilling out of the doors of the underground fortress. A number were on horseback, carrying torches.
Cruz.
Sir.
Tell me those explosives are ready.
Done. On your go.
As Conti watched, the horsemen deployed, kicking their horses into gallops. They streaked for thatched homes that were evidently part of a pre-selected target group and began setting them aflame. Villagers rushed out onto the narrow roads between the buildings, obviously not believing what they were seeing. As far as Conti could tell, though, many of the villagers hadn't been caught so flat-footed. Dozens of men brandishing knives, spears, and torches came charging out of their homes and out of rabbit holes that had been dug along the roadsides. Evidently, the rebellion by the people in the community had gone well past preparation stages. A small war had started in the village.
Ames, you ready with the wag?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to miss this party. Cruz, blow those explosives.
Roger that, Sarge.
Turley and Cruz had linked the flashbangs together along a length of cord, then threw them out at prescribed intervals into a section of the forest below, populated by the plants. The flashbangs went off in quick succession.
Ames, I'm on my way.
The sergeant bolted through the forest, heading on an interception route with the jeep. Ames was behind the wheel, rolling over everything that got in his way, staying away from the things too large to roll over. The high bumper plowed over small trees and brush. Conti reached out and swung into the front passenger seat. Whitaker raced out of the shadows and stepped up onto the running board, holding his machine pistol loose but at the ready. His face, like all of the units, was tiger-striped in combat cosmetics. The other surviving members of the unit piled into the rear deck.
Go, Ames!
Conti held on as the vehicle dug into the hillside, all four wheels gripping the earth and propelling it forward. Cold sweat clung to the back of the sergeant's neck as he raked the forest around them with his peripheral vision.
Whitaker! Point the way down to where Carter headed for the fortress.
It's that way! On the east side of the village!
Ames, take us there!
You got it, Sarge!
Conti glanced at the uneven terrain before the jeep as Ames struggled with the wheel, guiding them toward the area where Carter and his group had chopped their way through the route. Some of the Celtic horsemen were already wheeling in their direction. Ryan Carter stepped through the hole he chopped in the side of the route, the rough edges of the fibrous skin hole plucking and tearing at his clothing.
Drone!
His vision hadn't adjusted to the darkness inside the subterranean complex, but instinct found his target for him as he moved into a protective position beside the hole. Doc was squeezing through behind him. Ryan lifted the 6 hours smoothly. The shape in front of him was a shadow flitting through the air. One of the bullets fired by the ovoid shape hanging from the guide rail along the ceiling burnt past Ryan's face. Ryan fired back. Sparks leapt from the remains of the drone, and it jumped its tracks, hanging precariously on the lip.
By the three Kennedys, it appears the Celtic Prince has a fully functional defensive system.
Jack, we share point.
Yeah, you say so.
If you see somebody who looks like they know what's what here, we need him alive.
Done.
JB, you follow us. Doc after him. Christie, take the rear. Move out.
The two men led the group forward. The way was only partially lit by glowing fungus pods jutting from the walls around them, bathing everything in a lambent blue light.
Lover.
Ryan glanced back in Christie's direction, knowing that Jack had them covered. He followed the line of her pointing finger and saw the cameras embedded in the root flesh of the ceiling. Two more were visible behind them, sliding quietly along tracked gimbals. It tore away the illusion that they might be sneaking up on Bolt.
Triple red. They'll be expecting company.
The corridor turned left, leaving the far corner in the shadows, just beyond the reach of the light cast off by the glowing fungus. Already impaired somewhat by his monocular view of things, Ryan took advantage of his peripheral vision, proceeding cautiously towards a door ahead.